We shall pray. Shall we stand up? We thank you for all you have been doing in our lives. Thank you for how you refill your mind to us all the time. Thank you for the truth of your will that is being made manifest to us. Your purpose that is being fulfilled in us. We are grateful to you, everlasting Father. Father, be pleased today to reveal more of your will, of your plan, of your purpose unto us. Your word we are going to hear, may we not hear it in vain. But cause it, O Lord, to do your will in us. That all the days of our lives, this word will be our anchor. It will be our guide. And will make us to do your will. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Shall we be seated? Praise the Lord. That's your hallelujah is shallow. Praise the Lord. My God is great. As I went for the missionary journey, for the first time since I've been going on missionary journey, I preach only one sermon. There are sermons I've preached before during my missionary journey that have never been preached here, that I've not repeated. I preach it only once in one place, and since then I've not been having the leading of God to preach it again. Sometimes when I go on missionary journey, it is one sermon for one location. Sometimes two sermons for one location and two for all the locations. But as I was praying about what to preach at Benin, I felt led of God to preach this. I've never preached it. The first time I preached it in Benin, I discovered that all other preparations I had would not work. So when it was the turn of Abuja, it was the same sermon. Port Harcourt, the same sermon. Uyo, the same sermon. And as I was returning, I feel led of God to still preach the same sermon. Church, there is nothing good we need or will ever need that has not been promised by God. It's not only that He has promised them, He has also made provisions for them. It's not only that He has made provision for them so that we may have them. He has done them for people in the past. We have every reason to believe that anything we need today and everything we need tomorrow, God has provided. And at the right time, they will get to us. Is it peace of mind? Is it joy? Is it victory? Good health? Good family? Prosperity? Whatever it is, God has promised to do them for us, to give them to us. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you read the first 14 verses, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nation of all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body." So nobody agrees with that. If you agree with that, wave your two hands and say, "I agree." So do like somebody who agreed, then. "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemy that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and the Lord that thou settest thy hand unto, and it shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lead unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left hand. You know what? That is just one out of thousands of scriptures that talk about the fact that God will do us good. As for good health, it says in the Exodus 15:26, I will bring none of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians upon you, for I am the Lord that healed you. As for provision, in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As for protection, he says his angel will camp round about us. He says we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As for our children, he says your wife will be like a fruitful vine around your table. He promises to bless everything that pertains to us. But listen, I'm preaching this morning about your duty to make sure God does not change his plan about you. I repeat, your duty to make sure God does not change his plan about you. Everybody say it. You didn't say it well. You didn't get it. Your duty, say it, to make sure God does not change his mind about you. You know, that statement is loaded with meanings. It means that God can change his mind. It also means God can change his mind about you. That statement is also saying that you have your own responsibility if the mind of God about you will not be changed. The same children of Israel who originally received the promise we have in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 14 were also given the curses you have from verse 15 to 68. 14 verses for blessing, 54 verses for curses. There are people who think that that is a portion of the Bible that must not be read. But I've read through this week. I've read all those passages they said should not be read in the Bible. I've read it, and my head refused to turn. Your head will not turn when you abide by the word of God. You are not going into occult in the name of reading the Bible. But we will go to verse 63 because of time and just read that. Then you will see something from there. Verse 63 says, of the same Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoices over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from all the land whither thou goest to possess it. Hey! God told children of Israel, told Moses that he should write all of this. You know, this book was written towards the end of the life of Moses. Deuteronomy is an Hebrew word meaning second law. But it is not really a second law. It's simply a repetition of what he had written in some other books, especially the book of Exodus. He wrote this book when he was about to finish it. He gave it to Joshua to finish it, because he knew you also have the record of his death. Now, like I've told you before, when you come to chapter 30, God told Moses that the children of Israel will actually do wrong. They will backslide. They will go after idol. And all the curses I promise will come upon them. But before you die, make it a song. Write a song. And teach them the song, so that in future, it will remind them. I told you the other day that Moses wrote the song. That is what you have in chapter 31 of the book of Deuteronomy. The whole chapter. Now, one day, many years after the death of Moses, they were in Babylon, in captivity. Some of the people that carried them away captivity now said to them, they said, we hung our harp by the river of Babylon. And some of them came and said, sing to us some of the songs of Zion. Then they became mad. Because that reminded them of the prophecy. Of how they will be sent to captivity if they are gone into sin. Then they shouted, why should we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? They began to curse themselves. May my right hand forget its usefulness. If I do not make you Zion my priority in life. And so on and so forth. Come, people of God. Many times in the past, God changed his mind. Both positively as well as negatively. Can you remember why Jonah was angry? And God said to him, do thou well to be angry? Jonah went to preach to Nineveh that in 40 days, Nineveh will be no more. He did not even give them any room for repentance and correction and averting the judgment. But the people decided to seek the help of God. They fasted. And God had mercy on them and will not bring the judgment. Then Jonah became angry. Why was he angry? He was angry because God changed his mind. He knew God could change his mind. That was why he didn't want to go in the first instance. Because he wanted the Assyrians to perish. Knowing that they were the ones that were still coming to captivate the children of Israel in the future. For that not to happen, he wanted them to perish. But God changed his mind when they repented. Both positively and negatively, God changed his mind in the past and he can still change his mind today. What we are now saying is that for him not to change his mind concerning you, you have a part to play. One day, the children of Israel were in the wilderness. God called Moses to come to him on top of the mountain. Moses was there for 40 days, receiving the two tables of the law, and also instruction about how the tabernacle will be built. While he was there, the children of Israel decided to backslide. They asked Aaron to make them golden calf, the type that Egyptians worship in Egypt. And Aaron made it for them. God now told Moses, your people, they have gone back home. So Moses came down and saw what they had done. Before Moses came down, God had told Moses up there, get out of the way. I told myself that, how can Moses be big enough to block the way of God? But God said he should get out of the way. He should allow him to destroy the children of Israel. That he was going to raise a mightier nation through Moses. Moses then said, Baba, Egyptians, from whom you use a strong hand to bring out these people, they will hear. They will then say, it is because you are unable to lead them to the promised land you promised them. The promised land people or gods are stronger than you. That's why you decide to destroy them in the wilderness. Even those people, the Sepharvim, the Jebusites, they will hear it. No. You know what you will do? Remove my name from your book instead. God said, it is the one that sinned against me that I will remove his name. How can I remove your name? The Bible says, then God repented. He changed his mind. Let me hear you say, God can change his mind. As he can change his mind positively, he can also change his mind negatively. I was trying to rush the sermon, but it's a lengthy one. That's why I needed to wait a little more in Yoruba. Then if I'm not careful here, I will still consume too much time. Maybe one of these days I'll bring a form of lecture. That's not today. Because there are so many passages to read, and I'm not going to read them now. But you know all of them. Examples. We are looking at two things. Examples will take more time. Then we'll spend a little time on what we have to do. Can you remember Adam? Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26. Let us make a man in our image and according to our likeness. Before making man, he decreed that man will have dominion over the fowls of the air, fishes of the sea, everything creeping on the earth. He actually made man the king of the earth. So after making man, male and female, he commanded man to have dominion over everything. He gave everything in the world to man, minus the fruit of knowledge of good and evil.
The Bible tells us that after making man, he divided man to two. He produced a wife. He made a garden for them. And the garden was a wonderful swimming pool that flowed into four different directions. All kind of trees were there, good for food. Only the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said they shouldn't touch. Let me tell you, nobody has built a better palace than the Garden of Eden. Nobody has lived in a better environment than the Garden of Eden. Unfortunately, no son of Adam has ever lived in that kind of place. You say, but there were no houses there. What would they do with house? House is a problem. House. The liberty we have in the open field, we don't have it in the house. We need house to protect ourselves against bad weather, bad animals, and so many other things. If it is for beauty, God knew how to make things more beautiful than what any man could do. Garden of Eden was the best place any man has ever lived. But when they ate the forbidden fruit, God came with angels. The Bible tells us that the sword they were holding was on fire. Can you imagine sword issuing out fire? And it drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. And he put the angels at the entrance so that they will never be able to enter. They never entered the place once more. Then he now said, he has cursed the man. He has cursed the ground. That instead of good fruit, they will bring forth thorns for man. Then he said, I will multiply your conception, your childbirth. Curse the woman also. And they became accursed. The plan God made that we read about in Genesis chapter 1, we got to chapter 3. That year you say God can change his mind. For him not to change his mind about you, you have your part to play. And that your part is so important. You just have to play it and play it well. Can you remember even Moses? Amen. Moses was born only for the purpose of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was the only reason why Moses was born. He spent 120 years in the world, which naturally divides into three. The first 40 years he spent in the palace as a prince. The second 40 years he spent as a cattle rearer in the wilderness of Midian. And the last 40 years he spent as leader of Israel, leading them from Egypt to the boundary of Canaan. They were actually at the boundary. Kadesh Barnea was the last place you will get to before you come across to the promised land. And he pointed, he's like, you are pointing from here to Obawole. I said, look at it. That's the promised land. Take, go in and possess it. The children of Israel did their own. I'm not talking about that now. It was, God now asked them to turn back, that they were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. During this period of wandering, Moses, towards the end of it, made a mistake. Too terrible to be forgiven. And what was the mistake? The people were complaining about water. Moses became angry for God's sake. Don't be angry for God's sake. The same God for whom you are angry will punish you. And the punishment may be too much for you to bear. He was angry for God's sake and carried his rod and then went to the rock and said, can we bring you water from this rock? And he smote the rock. The rock had been smitten once. This was the second time. Moses thought it was just a rock in the bush like Suma Rock in Abuja, Mount Everest in Nepal or where, and other mountains all over the world. This particular rock, get leg. This rock, it works. This particular rock, get heart. Get its own mind, get emotion, get eyes, get ear, get hands. You can't see. You only see rock, but it's a person. Moses did not know the second person of the Holy Trinity. The Bible later tells us in the book of Corinthians that Christ was the rock. The rock was not stationary. That was following them. No wonder every time they looked back, they saw the rock. They never knew the rock was actually following them. So he smote the rock. I could see angels in heaven. Hey, feeling sorry for him for making a mistake that cannot be easily corrected. Later God came and said, Moses, because you did not sanctify me before these people, I have decided that Canaan you spend all your life to prepare for, you will not enter. It sounds like fairy tale. But for Moses to realize, he told Aaron also, you didn't check your brother, you two will not get to Canaan. He said, okay. Take your brother, Aaron, and his son, Eleazar, come to the top of the mountain and meet me. When they got to the top of the mountain, God said, remove the ephod, the cloth, the priest's cloth on your brother, Aaron. Put it on his son, Eleazar, because he's going to die here now. And before Moses would finish, Aaron just went down and was there. Then Moses knew it was a serious matter. So when he came down, he began to call all the names of God that he knew. God, let me see that promised land. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 3, you will see the story. He said, that land flowing with milk and honey. If you, anytime I read it, it's like you'll be waiting for Moses. He said, but God was angry with me. And he said to me, don't talk to me about the matter anymore. That's the only place in the Bible where God himself told somebody not to pray. And thus, Moses lost the opportunity of entering Canaan. God changed his mind. Can God change his mind? I cannot hear you. Can you remember Esau? The senior brother of Jacob. He was a descendant of Abraham. He was the number one in the lineage. So he's supposed to be Abraham, Isaac, Esau, his son, that one son, that one son, that one son, until you come to Christ. That was the normal thing. He was the custodian of the, he's supposed to be the custodian of the Abrahamic covenant and the head of the family of Isaac after the death of Isaac. But unfortunately, because of, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 17, the Bible tells us that because of one morsel of bread, look at it. He got a plate or a pot full of bread, but the Bible tells us it was only one morsel that created the problem. You know the morsel? The first one. Maybe you need to be told. I'm not sure Adam finished the forbidden fruit. I preached it before. Can I preach it to you again? If you see a brother who has fallen into fornication before, if he will tell you the truth, ask him. That the first day you backslided, the first day you committed immorality for the first time, did you enjoy it? If he will tell you the truth, he will say no. It's not meant for enjoyment. It's meant for destruction. It's meant for the perdition. It's meant to assist you to lose your relationship with God. It's meant to make God change his mind concerning you. The Bible tells us that when he will have inherited the promise, he was rejected because he found no place of repentance. Can you remember Eli? Who is there? Praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 10, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I say indeed that thy house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Can you remember the story of Eli? The time Eli failed, he was already 90 years of age. Do you need to be told that all the children of descendants of Aaron were born priests? So when you get to a certain age, you begin to minister in the tabernacle or the temple, as the case may be. So he was actually born priest and has been priest all his days until the last high priest died and he became the high priest of Israel. In him was combined almost the three offices. The Bible never says so, but in his days we do not have of any great prophets like Elijah, Elisha. So he was more or less the prophet of Israel. He was the high priest. He was also the political leader. In those days, they used to have judges. He was the last judge. But his children created him the problem. His children were actually raping women that came to the tabernacle at Shiloh. The tabernacle of Moses was last erected, was that time erected at Shiloh. And Eli was the presiding priest in charge. His own children, who are supposed to be priests too, they have special forks. When you are cooking your sacrifice, they come there and say, they just dip their fork into the pot. Anything they are forked to is their own. There is what the law of Moses prescribed for them. They will tell them, when they get to it, they say, oh yeah, give me now. Give me meat, I'm going to do asun, suya, for the high priest. And I say, please, let me do it the normal way. Let's remove all the necessary fat and burn it. And I will come.
No, give me now. If you don't give me now, I take it by force.
Until God became angry and said, Eli, see what your children are doing. You are honoring your children more than me. Do you know what will happen? I said your father's house will stand before me as a priest forever, but I have now changed my mind. Be it far from me. The one that honor me will be honored. The one that dishonor me will be lightly, that despise me, will be lightly esteemed. Thus, the mind of God about Eli and Eli's family changed. God then said, this will be the sign. Your two sons, Ophni and Phinehas, will die the same day. And when they brought the report that his two sons were dead, he knew they were going to die the same day. But when the report also added that the Ark of the Covenant had been snatched by the Philistines, he fell backward, broke his neck, and died. His daughter-in-law that was in labor delivered the baby and called the baby Ichabod. Glory has departed from Israel. What made God to change his mind concerning Eli and Eli's house? The sin of his children. See, as the judge of Israel, he was the one that was supposed to deal with that, which he didn't. Can you remember the first king of Israel? All I'm trying to tell you, all this one I'm saying, they are not part of the sermon, really. They are just to prepare you for the real sermon. The real sermon is about 2 minutes or three. All these are meant to prepare you. Can you remember Saul? The day of his coronation, when they brought him out, the tallest person in Israel was not taller than a soldier. So huge and so humble, he went and hid himself. At last, he was made the king. Immediately, he was made the king. The Bible says God gave him another spirit of a king. In fact, he began to prophesy. People said, is he also a prophet? The first battle he went to fight, he overcame. Then some people said, anybody who say Saul should not be our king, let's kill him. Say, why are you killing him? So humble. But one day, God asked him to go and destroy the Amalekites for the sin they committed when they did not give the children of Israel passageway when they were coming from Egypt, though they were brothers. You know, the Amalekites were descendants of Esau. The same thing with the Edomites. Yes, they were all descendants of Esau. And Israel were descendants of Jacob. Jacob and Esau were born by the same father and the same mother. They were supposed to treat each other as brothers. And God told the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt that the land of the Edomite, I do not give you. I've given it to the children of Israel. The children of Israel did not want to grab the land. They only wanted to pass. But the Amalekites came and fought them. Then God said, I will remove the remembrance of Amalek from the face of the earth. When it was the time for the execution of the judgment, God now said, Saul, go and execute my judgment. Kill everybody, everything. All the animals, all the men, all the women, elderly, suckling, babies, kill all. And Saul said, yes, sir. He killed all. Minus the fatted ones, the big ones. And he took their king as war trophy. You know, in those days, I told the Yoruba what they call Ajagunbade. Ajagunbade in Yoruba, Ade means crown, Jagun means fight war, Bade means take crown. You fight war to take crown. What it means is that in those days, when you go to fight war, if the king you are fighting is having a good crown, beautiful crown, costly crown. When you win the battle, your servant will take the crown from the head of that king and then put it on your head. You now wear it as you are coming back singing triumphant song. They call you Ajagunbade. So in those days, when you win a battle, you bring the king of the land, you won't kill him, as war trophy. You bring him, you will cut his tomb, especially that of the right hand, so that he cannot hold weapon anymore. You remove his right eye. In battle, left eye is used, then you use the shield to cover the left eye. It's the right eye you used to. So when you remove his right eye and you remove his tomb, finish. You will make him to pick his food at your table. So in those days, victorious kings will have 10-5 kings wearing their crowns, having no food until he is ready to eat. Then when he's eating, when he breaks bone, you throw the remnants. Then the kings, 3-4 of them will struggle for it. Then he rejoiced. That showed that he's a great king. That's what Saul wanted to do. So the king he was asked to kill, he brought home. Then Samuel came and said, when you were small in your own sight, God made you king. Now you have become proud. God said to me, he has gotten somebody else to replace you. You are no longer to be the king of Israel. You know what Saul did? Saul said, I know, I'm sorry, I've sinned. But you know what? You have to go with me to do the sacrifice so that people will not know what is going on. Samuel said, you are still talking about honor at this stage. You don't know the implication. And look at the eyeball of Samuel. He has been weeping. In fact, God had to tell Samuel, don't weep for Saul again. I said, I'm no longer taking him for my king. He now insisted that Saul must go. Samuel must go with you. Samuel said, I'm not going with you. He said, you will go with me, sir. You can't go. Excuse me, sir. You will go with me. Oh. And you want people to know that I know. You go. And Samuel was to go. He held the garment of Samuel. And the garment, as if it was waiting for somebody to hold it. As the garment turned, Samuel said, you have just turned the kingdom of Israel. Your kingdom will not continue. God changes mind. Can you remember Solomon? I told a story I'm sure I've never told in this church. While starting this sermon, let me tell you the same story. Hallelujah. If you want to know what makes Solomon to be special, think about the evil David did to his mother. Was Bathsheba a prostitute? Huh? Was she a fornicator? She was beautiful. But is it a sin for a woman to be beautiful? God made her beautiful. And she was bathing, not outside. And thus created a what they will call sexual harassment for men. She was bathing in her own bedroom. But because the king was having a taller building, from the top of his building, he could see the woman bathing in her bedroom. Then for the king to turn away his eye, he ordered that they should bring the woman. They brought the woman. Ah, how can you be so beautiful like this? And I don't know you are there. Who is your husband, by the way? You know, before the king, you will be shaking. He said, Uriah, sir, my lord. He said, don't shake. Feel free. You know how those sugar daddies talk to concubine when their grandchild's age mate. Feel free. He said, who is your husband? Uriah what? My soldier. Ah, Omo Uriah, man, Jayo. How can I enjoy so much marrying you when I be here? I will get him another wife when they come. I'll be waiting, I go do. Say, so, okay, let me just know you, sir. Oh, yeah, go inside, I'll undress. In case you don't know, he raped Bathsheba. When you make a woman to undress and you fornicate with her at gunpoint, that is not consent. You are a rapist. So he raped Bathsheba. But Bathsheba had to do it with what? With fear and trembling. I was telling them in the Yoruba program that king of those days, if he tells you, I feel like eating meat, yo. I said, daddy, which meat will you eat? He said, stretch your right hand so that they cut it and cook it for me. Anybody that is there will be thanking God for you. You say, why? Supposing he says your neck, you like to eat it, or what do you do? So if he say, now your hand, you better quickly give your hand before he changes his mind. And not say your thigh. You stretch your hand, they cut it and cook. You may even be the one to use your left hand to cook your right hand for the king. That's what he wants to eat. You did not read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, whatever my eyes desire, I never deprive him. Don't you know the meaning? You don't know. The meaning is that if Solomon's heart had desired your wife, you will even be the one to take your wife to his bed. You may prepare the bed for him. Maybe you have forgotten. When the daughter of Saul, that David earlier married but was given to another husband, when David told Abner, when he told Abner to bring back his wife, though she's married, Abner went and carried the woman. He said, oh, yeah. And the new husband, though must be old husband now, only God knows how many years they have been married, was following weeping. At a point, Abner said, the king needs your wife, you are following with. Get out! You might have to go back. In the same way, King David fornicated with Bathsheba. Bathsheba went back to her home, I'm sure in sorrow. When she got back home, after some time she discovered she was pregnant. And she sent to the king, before my husband will come, so that you know how to tell him that you are the one, I'm pregnant. And David said, don't worry, I take care of that. I heard of a pastor, they said he was fornicating with a member of his church. In fact, the wife of another member. And while the woman was weeping, he said, take anointing oil and drink. As for my own, I know how to settle that with God. Yes, Bishop. Bishop will know how to settle fornication. What do you settle than go to her? Now, David did all this. If are you there? The woman was pregnant. The husband came back. You know the trick David used to make the man go home. The man refused to go home. At last, when the thing could not be covered, David wrote a letter, gave to the man that he should be killed in the war for. Which woman will have her husband killed by a man who raped you and will be happy? But the woman have no court to protest you. Where can you go? Where is the human right activity that will protect for you in those days? So after the death of the man, David told her, I know you would like to mourn for your husband. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know you love each other. But there's no way you can love him. And think. So, after a few months that the woman mourned her husband, David withdrew her to his house. I'm sure you will know that Bathsheba will not live happily in the house. Am I correct? She delivered the baby. God said the baby would die. The baby died. She was pregnant again. Then David said to her, I'm not quoting verbatim. I'm actually adding my own to make it clear. But I do not add anything fraudulently. It's the essence of what he says. I know the evil I did to you. I'm very sorry about it. But you know what? I promise you, the son you born now will be the king after me. All my other sons, we have to step down for him. It was a little compensation for the evil he did. It's not too much. Is it too much? Come on. If you have a father that did evil like that, you better allow him. Because that is not even enough to atone for the evil that he did. So Bathsheba had that and kept it in her heart. She gave birth to a son, they called of the son Solomon. One day, Absalom said I will be king. Maybe that was one of the reasons why Absalom wanted to snatch the kingdom even before his father died. Absalom died. David became very old. Any moment from now, he would die. Adonijah said, I will be the king. They all knew that the father had given the kingdom to the son of Bathsheba. So Adonijah wanted to become the king. You know the rest of the story. At last, David ordered Solomon to be enthroned while he was still alive. It was glorious. The old official was happy. The boy was just a young boy, 20 years of age. The Bible says God loved Solomon. You say, why did he love Solomon? I don't know. Maybe it's God's compensation also for the mother. Because the mother was actually hot. And now, the day of his coronation, the mother was there. I think it will give her at least a little joy. Then God began to treat Solomon special. One night he was dreaming, he saw God. And he said, what do you want me to give to you? He also received the grace of God to answer correctly. He said, what do I have that I will lead this your great people? Give me wisdom. I said, You didn't ask for the life of your enemy? You didn't have for riches? Okay, this is what I will do. I will give you wisdom that nobody will be as wise as you are. I will give you riches that you know the man. And God gave everything to Solomon. Instead of Solomon to sing that my song, Emi eru esu lasan lasan, Emi otoshi eleshe, Alo sami da mo igbala o, O sami da jogun ogo, Gbogbo eniyan e ba mi yo, Gbogbo eniyan e ba mi yo, no. Solomon began to make friendship with kings. Anytime he went on a visit to a king's house, he sees one of his daughters. Say, what about this one as my wife? And the king eagerly released their daughters. They know it will be a way of introducing the idols to Israel. At the last count, Solomon had 700 wives. And for each of them, he built a house. And do you know the way those people were operating? It's like immediately you move away from Ekiti. You are going towards the north. Immediately you cross Ekiti, you are getting to people like Yamoye. What do you call them? Those are, I don't have anybody. You are going towards Ekaba. You are going to Okene. You are going to Lokoja. You discover that almost every house has a mosque attached to it. That's the way those people operate. All the king's daughter that Solomon married, each of them had idol house. They built along with the houses he built for them. Thus, he brought a lot of idols. After he has married 700 wives, he began to marry more women that would stay in their own houses. The ones he would not build houses for, he married 300 more. Crown it, make it 1,000. I told them under the Yoruba program that you say, no, I'm not marrying many wives. So this is my wife, you too, you can see she's not happy, she's not anything. Then you marry one more, you are lying. You are not going to marry one, you will marry many. In case you don't know, many of those people you see that have wife and are still having other women, check them very well. It's not one woman. It's not common for man to have two wives. No. It's either two wives, three wives, and many concubines. And I gave them an example. The church where I gave my life to Jesus don't permit you to have more than one wife. If you have more than one wife, you can be coming to church, but you don't take part of Holy Communion. You are not allowed to be a worker. You cannot do water baptism. So many other things you cannot do. But you give birth to a child, except for the first wife, they don't come to name your child. This Baba was a member of our church. I met him in that church. I even remember the name we used to call him. I don't know if anybody was richer than him. I think he should be from the same area with our GU. But I do not go to the branch of the GU. I was just in the branch. I know they made the Baba the chairman of building committee. Though he could not be any other thing. He couldn't be a worker in the church. But very well then. Are you with me, everybody? I knew, like other people, that he had more than one wife. I'm not sure they were two. It was a secret, how do I put it? It's an open secret, we all knew. I don't know the wife, but we knew he was having more than two wives. The day he will die, he has bought a brand new, not in these days of Tokumbo, he has brought a brand new Mercedes-Benz, covered in his yard. I learned that he was to bring it to church for the first time on Sunday. Has just bought it, brand new, kept it. Before Sunday, he died. Do you know where he died? He died in the house of another woman, different from the one that were in his house. Okomagun. There's something that happened to you in Yoruba land when you go to fornicate with another man's wife. They put a kind of juju in the body of the woman. You will somersault from there, or you will be crawling like a cock. Kukuruku! Kukuruku! You say Yoruba people are wicked, though. Very wicked. You will start from the top of the woman. Kukuruku! Kukuruku! There is some assault. No, in some cases, you will finish your fornication. Nothing will happen to you. You will leave the place. But there is a law you must not break. It may be Majorogo. If it is Majorogo, unless you eat bitter cola, you will be alive. Any day you see bitter cola and say, I like, that's the day that thing will work. There are my dear other things, my share other things. That was the kind of thing. But I'm sure it's home. I think it was a kind of somersaulting from the woman. I was there when they were doing the waking. That's how he died. Solomon. You see some people, they tell you that. When you say it's wrong for a Christian to drive away his wife and marry another, or even marry two. What about David? And pray that what happened to David will happen to you. You say, what happened to David? One day God says, sword will never depart from your house. Pray for that too. God is still changing his mind. For him not to change his mind concerning you, so that the opposite of what he promises you will not happen to you, stay within the will of God. Do you know that? Amen. God now decided to begin to punish Solomon for his evil. A man by name Jeroboam was a servant of Solomon. He raised rebellion against him. When he saw that Solomon would kill him, he ran to Egypt. When God was ready for Solomon, he caused the man to return. As the man returned, Ahijah, the prophet, then met him. His new cloth that he was wearing, he tore it to 12 pieces and gave 10 to Jeroboam and said, God has decided to tear Israel out of the house of David. God will give just one tribe to the house of David because of David, my servant. The tribe of Benjamin will be added to Judah, his tribe. The rest 10, you are now the ruler. Ah, servant of the king, becoming the ruler. Shouldn't he be surprised? Eh? Shouldn't he be grateful? You know, the next thing, became proud and told himself that now that I'm the king, I have to strategize. If I allow these people to go back to Jerusalem to worship God, they will soon go back to David's house. Meanwhile, before they leave, God had told them that he was going to put his name in a particular place. What's the name of the place? Ha! You don't know. Jerusalem. When they came to the land, they couldn't win Jerusalem immediately. It took years before they eventually won Jerusalem. But that was where God said would be the headquarters. And it has been headquarters for years before this man came to throne. They now made golden calves and put the two in strategic locations. I told the children of Israel that Jerusalem is too far for you to worship. Worship around here. Let me tell you, Jerusalem is still important to God. Even in the millennium kingdom, this Jerusalem, God will still use it. It's one of the reasons why the devil is desperate to have the control of it. Since AD 70, from AD 70 to 1914, to 1948, AD 70 to AD 1948, Jerusalem was not in the hand of the Jews. It moved from one nation to the other, the Turkish, the Lebanians, the Lebanese, the Egyptians, they were exchanging it. At a time, some people went from Europe, Christian crusader. When you read crusader, all crusaders are not the people that go to preach. The Christian crusader of those days were those who went with sword to liberate Jerusalem. They were actually kill a lot of people and they controlled it for a while. That was how it moved and moved and moved and moved until the mandate of the United Nations gave the authority to Britain, and Britain later gave it, relinquished it, and Israel took it. This last week, all the arrangements towards settlement in the Middle East collapsed. Last week. The two main groups of the Palestinians, the Fatah and the Hamas, they have been opposing to one another. In fact, one of them is tagged terrorist group by the US, Israel, many nations of the world. But this last week, they buried their differences and two of them signed an agreement. And Israel said, with that one, here comes the end to all our negotiations. We cannot be negotiating the terrorist group. About a week or two before then, the Secretary of State in the US has already came out very sorrowfully, knowing that the way things were going, the settlement will not continue. But I've told you before that they will never settle. Did I not say so? You know, they were close to settlement. The settlement would be two nations settlement, living side by side, Israel, Palestine. But Israel gave two conditions. One, recognize Israel as Jewish nation. The Arabs said they will not do that. Number two, Jerusalem as our capital. Arabs say, how can you be so wicked? Jerusalem is where we are making our capital. The Mosque of Omar is the third holy place of Israel, of Muslim. How can you say you are having the place? So they will never settle. Three people are fighting for that land. Christians during the Crusaders. The Muslims now. The Jews, maybe you need to know that the Jews we are talking about, they are not Christians. They are Judaizers. Trying to obey the law of Moses. So Jeroboam violated that order. Asked them to be worshiping elsewhere. You know what God did? God decided that I will destroy Jeroboam. The same Jeroboam God I've just blessed. And his house. He then told Elijah what to do. You know what? One day, the son of Jeroboam that will sit on his throne after him was sick to the point of death. Jeroboam now said, go to Elijah. Darling, go to Elijah. He told his wife to go to Elijah. He said, this guy, so don't let him know you are my wife. Oh. Don't bring cause back to this house. Oh. You know everything he asked me to do, I didn't do. Pretend as if you are not my wife. And Elijah's wife, Jeroboam's wife dressed strangely. You don't even need to disguise yourself because Elijah was blind because of old age. He won't see you. But God told Elijah what to do. As Jeroboam's wife was approaching, as he was entering the house, Elijah shouted from inside, Jeroboam's wife, welcome. Why are you disguising yourself? I have a heavy message for you. Immediately you get back to your town, your son will die. Because among the whole house of your husband Jeroboam, God has decided to show mercy to that boy. He's the only one that will die peacefully. All the rest will die miserably. God changed his mind. God changed his mind. You remember Gehazi? How many of you can remember Gehazi? In case you don't know, when Elijah was alive, God asked him to bring Elisha to himself. The plan of God was that Elisha would take over after the departure of Elijah. And when he was to take over, double portion of the power of Elijah fell on him. In the same way, Gehazi was following Elisha. There were other servants, but there is the principal one who will take over after his departure. Elisha was getting old. He healed somebody, Naaman. The man brought a lot of things. And the man of God said, go with it. This servant of Elisha said, my old guy is foolish. How can they bring this when we are dying of hunger? You know what he did? He went after the man and told some lies. The man gave him everything. He went and hid it. He had planned in his heart, I will buy vineyard, I will buy male servant, I will buy female servant, I will buy this. Everything he planned. When he came back to his oga said, he asked him, welcome, where are you coming from? Your servant went nowhere. Was my eye not going with you? When the man came down from his chariot, then all the things he planned to buy, Elijah began to tell him, is this the time to buy this? Vineyard? Male servant? Everything. He said, okay, for your information. I saw the leprosy of Elijah, of Naaman, falling on you and your generation, yet unborn. The man became as white as snow for leprosy. Will you see the prophet of Israel? God changed his mind. Well, the list is endless. But somebody will say, your pastor is Old Testament. Judas. New Testament. Everybody. Judas. Some people claim that Judas was never born again. He's a liar. The Bible says from among his disciples, he chose 12. They were already disciples. And from among them, he shows how many everybody? Come on. He shows 12. Of the 12, Judas was one. He named them apostles. So Jesus named him. Will Jesus name a sinner apostle? Because some people claim Judas was never born again. It's a lie of the devil. One day, Jesus was so pleased with them and he said, when Peter asked a question, he said, all of you following me in this time of regeneration, you are going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12. Jesus said they will sit on 12 thrones. Is Judas not having one? But Judas, you remember how he went and hanged himself. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1, Peter said, you all know Judas. Hallelujah. You remember Judas, who was guide to them that took Jesus. You know, he was numbered with us. And he had ordained part of this ministry. What can be clearer than that? Numbered with us. Obtained part of this ministry. How did he obtain it? Through Jesus, ordination, appointment, coronation, any name you like to give it.
Judas was a believer.
Judas was an apostle. But if you go to heaven today and see Judas there, look very well. You are the lobby of hell. You are not in heaven. The Bible says his bishopric will be given to another. Another will take his position. May another not take your position. Before we pray.
If you don't want God to change his mind about you, what do you do?
Even sinners. The plan of God for the whole world is good. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. Any. Including the worst sinner in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. God is not willing that you should perish as a sinner. His will is that you have eternal life. For that plan of God to be fulfilled, what do? Repent of your sins. Give your life to Jesus. Young people. Children, teenagers, run from sin. Give your life to Jesus. Your future is bright with the plan of God fulfilling in your life. But if you refuse and go into sin, God will change his mind. I was telling them under the Yoruba program that you decide to have boyfriend. I say your own boyfriend will be good. I told them that all boyfriends are Olori Buruku, all of them. So they are bad-headed, all of them. All girlfriends are Olori Buruku. So what do you mean? Let me explain to you. Don't you know that any woman that is not your wife who permits you to have fun with her is most likely to permit another man? Possibly have been permitting other men? Eh? If she catches any disease from those other men, and you also go into her, what happens to you? Venereal disease, gonorrhea, STD, HIV, anything you like, you call it. It becomes your portion. I told the Yoruba children that you may catch what they call, in Yoruba, they call it epa. I don't know the English name for it, epa. It makes your private part to enlarge. And also, so you have to have special drawers, specially made for you. So when you walk out like this. So that will happen to me. It will happen to you when you have a girlfriend. Because your girlfriend may bring it from another man. You don't know that immediately you go into sin, you left home, sing in the choir. We call you child of God. We command the goodness of God on your head. You get to university. You join your friends. You begin to fornicate together. You don't know that all the goodness written after your name will be cancelled one by one. Replaced with evil. You don't know that evil will pursue you. You don't know that when evil begins to pursue you, what happens to unbelievers in the wilderness of sin will happen to you. If kidnappers are looking for who to kidnap, you may be the next one. Ritualists are using for whose blood to you, your blood may be good for them. If it is, any evil can happen to you, anything. You say, but pastor, you said no weapon fashioned against me can prosper. That is only valid when you stay within the circle. Everybody said that is only valid when you stay within the circle. Say it. The promises of God are only valid in your life when you limit yourself within the circle. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you don't want God to change his mind about you, don't change your mind about God. Though. Say, what do you mean? All the good promises you have made to God in your prayer. I will serve you, Lord. I will do your will, Lord. I will not go into sin, Lord. I will not touch anything contrary to your will, Lord. I will surrender my love to Jesus, Lord. Hey, make sure you take all of them seriously. Be very close to God. Be very close to Jesus. Be very close to church. Be very close to the Bible. Make sure what you know to be the will of God is what you do all the days of your life. Don't change your mind. Many times you came to the altar and said, Jesus, I am now for you. Make sure you are for Jesus. Before we pray, I told them under the Yoruba program, come people, how many pastors do I bring here? That you know this is daddy's friend. This is daddy's friend. This is daddy's friend. How many are they? Answer me. No, there are people who feel they are my friends. They are not my enemies. But I'm not too close to pastors. Mm-mm. You say you hate pastor. How can I hate pastor? I'm a pastor too. On Tuesday, I'll be going to somewhere to do a little of something ministry outside here. And I will continue to do it till I see Jesus.
Nevertheless,
I do not expose my life to any danger along that line. Maybe you don't know. If I had moved the way pastors move, this church would have gone bigger than this. We are talking of this as now we want to build this. What does it take? It's a matter of 6-10 of my friends joining me to organize special, fundraising. They will bring their wealthy members. They will come. One of them will do the preaching. Another one will do the collection of money. You say you have been to such places before? Yes, many times. Before you know it, millions will begin to roll in. Say, let's do it now. Be Geasi. Change your name to Geasi. I'm not ready to change my own. I'm begging you.
I'm begging you.
He that honor me, I will honor.
He that despise me will be lightly esteemed, says the word of God.
Stand up and let us pray.
Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. In you alone I trust. Join me. Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. Don't let me be ashamed.
Can you say it again?
Hallelujah. Lord God. Oh, help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. Don't let me be ashamed.
Listen, if you know you have gone into anything that can make God to change his mind about you, you can repent today. You can change. You can tell God, I'm not going that direction any longer. I'm returning to you, the author of life, the shepherd of my soul. I'm coming back to the right path. Help me, my God. Oh, the two prayers are as follows. You are already on the wrong path. Pray God to bring you back. If you think you are still in the right path, pray God, give me the grace never to go to that wrong path. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that.
Help me, Lord God. I have no other help.
Make sure you are praying. You need to tell God, am I off the target? Oh Lord, help me. I repent now. Help me to come back to you. Are you still on the way? Tell him he will give you the grace to remain so that he will not change his mind against you. Father, help me. You cannot help yourself. You need to cry unto the Lord now. Father, help me that I will remain in the center of your will so that you will not change your mind against me. Open your mouth and pray. The only one that can make God change his mind against you is you. Why don't you tell him, Father, help me. I want you to be what you have promised to be in my life. I want you to be my provider. I want you to be my protector. I want you to see you at the end of my race in this world. Help me, that Father, your mind to me on these things will never be changed. Help me, O Lord. That is your prayer. The only thing that can make God to change his mind against you is sin. Tell him, Father, help me that I will not run into sin, I will not go into sin. Are you in sin? Tell him you have repented. Confess your sins to him. I will no more go along that way. Help me, O Lord. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father Lord, we thank you for coming to us at this time and reveal your mind to us. We thank you for showing us the picture of anyone that turns against you. Father, we are praying that the grace for us never to make ourselves to turn against us, give unto us in Jesus' name. The grace to remain where you put us, in the midst of your will, Father, give unto us in Jesus' name. Father, we are saying that the devil, our enemy, is out to deceive and take us away from these blessings you have promised. The grace, Father, never to obey him, never to agree with him, give unto us in Jesus' name. So that in all that we do, in all our thoughts, in all our actions, the grace for us to remain at the center of your will, give unto us in Jesus' name. The grace never to go back from this way you have revealed to us, give unto us, Father, in Jesus' name. So that, Lord, when we finish our grace in this world, we'll be able to say, Father, we thank you, because we'll be with you in your kingdom in Jesus' name. The grace for us not to see you. The grace for us not to finish our race with you. Father, may it not happen to us in Jesus' name. Father, strengthen us. Every deceit of the devil, Father, we cancel at this time. That, Lord, they will have no dominion over us in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for hitherto you have helped us. We thank you, Father, because of your sincerity towards us, showing us the way. The grace for us to follow the way all the days of our life, give unto us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, because you know you have heard, because we have prayed in Jesus' name.